Rotoscopers, episode 150, Despicable Me 3, Imaginary Party. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, Illumination Entertainment, and everything in between. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling, joined by my fabulous co-host, Chelsea Robson.
Howdy ho.
For those of you who are new to our show, the Animation Addicts Podcast is all about the wide world of animation. We talk about animated films, past and present, and today we are talking about the present. And we just got back from a screening of the new Illumination Entertainment movie, Despicable Me 3, which is the focus of our show today.
We're so sorry, Neighbor Totoro.
Yet again, pushed and bump back because of a new release. Now, we do not always do new releases on the show, but this one, we both had the opportunity to go see it, and we did, and
yeah, it's not very often that both Morgan and I have the opportunity of going to a screening together. Mm-hmm. And so when we do, we try and take hold of that opportunity to, you know, podcast at the same time. So
exactly. And that's what happened last time. And that was the first, a new experiment, if you will, is that we go, we see the movie, and we immediately podcast right afterward. So that's what we are doing here today. So let's jump right into it, shall we?
Yeah. There's something special on the other side of this moment.
Welcome to our main discussion. We are here to talk about the main event, which is Despicable Me 3. Yes, it is the threequel. Never thought it would happen, but it seems that is standard today in all sorts of movies.
But this is not even a threequel because there was a prequel.
There was a spinoff.
I mean, this is pretty intense. The fact you got four movies out of these characters.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
specifically the Minion.
We're going to go back and talk about this franchise and everything that it has because, yes, we've done 150 episodes, but we have not done Despicable Me, Despicable Me 2. We have done The Minions when that was released, as far as podcast episode goes, but we actually have not gone and talked about Gru and the girls.
Right, no.
And Lucy.
The reason why was because the first one came out before we started the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And then 2010.
I do remember you did a YouTube review on this movie in 2013, and it was like right before I left for Nashville.
Ah,
so we did a whole like stack of videos at your house the day before I left.
Nice.
And that was one of them. We didn't do this one because at the time we weren't really doing a lot of new releases. But yeah, so we are here. And just going to give a brief summary of those to lead us up to number three.
Yes. You know, one thing, talking about this film, it really focuses on the family. It talks, you know, Gru, he's this super villain who he's just
reformed.
So he's reformed at this point. He's super good at what he does. He, or at least he was. And now he's joined the good guys. Right. And so in the first film, he's adopted these three girls because that's part of the plot. Right. Is he pretends to take them in and whatnot. And he takes on these girls and they're just completely adorable, completely amazing and so cute. And he adopts them. And then in the second one, he meets Lucy, who is going to catch a criminal. And she does. She catches a husband while she's at it. And he does reform. And they join the League of Good Guys, basically.
Yeah.
And then we have Minions, which came out in 2015, which is crazy. I feel like Minions just came out.
Yeah.
And here it is, two years later. Yep. So
life happens fast.
Indeed. And that is all about our favorite yellow critters, the Minions. And they actually are great. And you could go and listen to our podcast episode about Minions. But I think initially it's like, oh, Minions. Do we need a whole movie about the Minions? And it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a lot of Minions.
A lot of Minions.
And, you know, this one kind of goes back to form where
Sandra Bullock, though.
Oh, she was so good. I loved her character.
I love Sandra Bullock and everything.
Here, the Minions are interspersed, I guess you would say. Got a little Minion. And this is sort of what we learned from our last film with Mater. It's like, okay, the comic relief is comic relief, not comic all the time.
Yeah.
So the original franchise was incredibly, incredibly successful. enough so where you have two sequels and a prequel. The music from the original one, I think all around this franchise is known for having just a really great soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And I specifically remember Pharrell Williams. So in Despicable Me 2, other than the original song, which is like, Despicable Me.
Yeah.
And you kind of like...
He had a reprise of that in this one.
Yes.
Too.
And I mean, that's kind of like this theme song of the franchise is mm-hmm. that little ditty. But in Despicable Me 2, there was Happy. And Happy took the world by storm. And what I think was actually interesting about Happy is that when the film came out, it didn't really take off. Mm-hmm. What really made Happy... And we heard Happy... for a year after this point was the Academy Award nominations. When those were announced and the best song nominees were announced, Happy was one of them.
Yeah.
And that is when you heard this song on the radio all the time. It was all over the place. You went to a ballpark and they played this in between innings.
The dance craze.
Took over everything. And I just think it's just funny how certain things just don't... I mean, the song was the song. I'm sure people bought the album, but it just didn't get the recognition and the mainstream play and attention until it got... that highlight at the Oscars, which is funny. So Happy, man, that takes me back a few years. It's still a great song.
It is.
And they realize, hey, so as far as box office performance goes, the first film, you know, it was this new studio that we hadn't heard before. Mm-hmm. Illumination Entertainment is based in France. And Despicable Me, I mean, 2010 was a great year for animation, but, and this was one of the reasons, it did $543 million worldwide, which for a new studio, entirely new franchise, mm-hmm. original concept, very good. And that basically doubled its return in the second movie, which did $970
million. Nice.
Which, hey. Then Minions, which we gotta love our Minions,
love
more
them.
Minions. It did $1.159 billion. So, I mean, they are just cashing out on this over and over again. Having seen this third film, I don't think it's billion-dollar status.
No.
But...
I think just because it was such a roller coaster up to Minions, and kids just love Minions, and Minions, Minions, and Minions!
Oh, yeah, Minions. You see, my favorite was...
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So, like, we have a joke that Anastasia is a Disney princess. And so if you're reading on the website and you see an article and we refer to Anastasia as a Disney princess, and immediately you start raging inside because you're, no, she's not. That's the joke.
Like, we're trolling you.
We are trolling you because that's a long, and that's how we know whether you are a longtime reader or not. Because in the comments, it's very clear who just, you know, found this on Google and Facebook or whatnot. Is this their first time commenting? Okay, Disney is known for quality, right? And so if something's super good, a lot of times people just assume it's Disney.
Right.
So that's happened with Anastasia, and apparently some people think Minions is Disney because someone was telling me they went to Disney World and they had a whole family wearing Minions t-shirts. Like, oh no, honey. I mean, who knows?
Maybe they were trolling.
Maybe they had just gone to Universal the day before, which there is a Minions ride at Universal Studios. And hey, t-shirts are expensive. We can't be paying for no t-shirt every day for a different park. Okay. They definitely have hit superstar status.
Yeah.
And they're hilarious. There's so many of them. Every single minion is different. Different hairstyle, different height.
And about every single one, they try and highlight the different ones.
Yes. They have names, which is kind of the joke that in the original movie is like he knows
Kevin.
These are his minions. Like Kevin, Stu, Mel was the one. Like
Mel was today,
In every movie, we focus on a different head minion, right? Which is pretty funny. So this movie, while it was good, I didn't love it. I didn't think it was great. Yeah, it was good. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it. Sorry. So I've been talking about the franchise. Clearly, it's a big hit. Clearly, this is what put Illumination Entertainment on the map. This is their cash cow that allows them to do other things such as sing, such as The Secret Life of Pets.
Mm-hmm.
So they had two movies last year that came out, which is pretty darn impressive.
And Secret Life of Pets also did huge numbers.
So this is, if you're an animation studio, like you want a hit out of the gate, obviously. Oh, who doesn't? I mean, any content creator wants a hit out of the gate. You don't want to have
to be
chugging along forever. Yeah, exactly. But this really gave them the cash flow to, you know, make a few of these movies, which then allowed them to venture into other areas. And I cannot even imagine the merchandising potential of the minions. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. So let's talk about this film. But before we do, we're going to jump into the trailer.
Shortly after you and your brother were born, your father and I divorced. And we each took one son. Obviously, I got second pick.
I have a twin brother.
Twin brother?
Did he prove that? They got me a shot!
Meeting you.
Good.
Your discomfort is hilarious.
So, how are things career-wise?
Ha ha, great.
You let the most wanted villain just get away. You're fired.
So great. Crushing it.
I brought you here
to continue the family business. Villainy is in your blood.
The group can boobs.
I left that life behind me.
I understand.
I wonder what this does.
Oh, holy moly!
Become a villain again.
That's pretty nice.
Get you into my beans, get over spin. What you mean we? Can you take me for a friend?
So, what did you guys do today?
There's always a blind guy.
Nothing.
Goodbye.
Hello, Groot.
What about that?
What?
Oh, girls.
Intruders, hell to the air.
I'm gonna make you learn to appreciate me, differentiate me.
We've been waiting a long time.
No.
A unicorn horn.
I saw one once.
Was it?
It was so fluffy.
I thought I was gonna die.
Me, I'm as calm as the breeze. I'm the bee's knees, his legs, and his arms. I'm a superstar.
So, you two are villains now?
I mean, hello, sweetie.
Uh-oh, busted.
So good that I'm so bad. I guarantee I'll be the greatest thing you ever had.
Both of the huggy band on the kissy face, please.
I'll be just so bad.
That was a great trailer.
Awesome trailer.
Okay, so Despicable Me 3. What are your first thoughts about the film?
I do want to say one of my favorite scenes is at the very beginning. The first thing you really see is the new villain. That they're setting up the villain that we're going to be going after. Baltazar Brat. It talks about his story, about how he was a child star whose show got canceled when he went into puberty. And it's like, wah, wah.
Like, we couldn't have had makeup for this? Oh, I guess it was the voice, right?
And the voice changed.
The voice was a problem.
He was growing his mustache.
So
it
gross.
Was gross. Really, really nasty.
He kept it.
Yeah.
He didn't realize, okay, they liked me as a baby-faced almost baby. But no, I'm going to turn into this greasy man.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, what was funny is Trey Parker actually did the voice of
this.
If you know him, he's also done... he was one of the South Park guys.
Yes.
And so I thought he did a great job with his voice. The thing is, this character is really great for the adults.
Oh, yes.
So every little thing that this guy does is reminiscent of the 80s and early 90s.
Oh, yes.
Everything. And so...
His lair, it is a Rubik's Cube. He uses Rubik's Cubes as... distraction devices where it blows smoke out of there. He's from the 80s, right? So bubblegum is a big thing. The mullet. Can we not talk about the mullet? We will not refer to it ever again. And the bald patch on the mullet is the worst.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
And just like the 80s squiggles and neon colors.
It's like something straight out of Saved by the Bell.
I love that they open this with, this is a CNN reporting on where is he now? Getting you up to speed on who this guy is. And I actually thought, you know, it's funny. I was sitting here. I was thinking, okay, how do you get to this point? Like, and when I'm in the writer's room, it's like, okay, we have a new movie. Let's think of a new villain. All right.
You have to create a villain that is a match, that actually mm-hmm. is a challenge for the hero.
Yes. But this villain everything was 80s related. Everything was tied to his turning into like the Power Rangers, you know, and they had their like giant Power Ranger form and they were like controlling it from yes. the inside. Yes. That, he had that, right? And he was just very, very hilarious. But where do you get to the point in the writer's room? You're like, I got it. Honestly, 80s child star who plays a villain on TV who becomes a villain.
Well, I think it's like, you know, they're taking a little bit out of Guardians of the Galaxy, where they just take a guy who is stuck in late 70s, 80s time period. And so, you know, it's the people, the audience that they are coming to, like they're bringing their kids. Okay, what type of age group is going to be bringing their kids?
Nostalgia is huge.
It's our generation loves nostalgia. It's like, give it. And so any little thing, like even the moment where he takes his cassette tape out and flips it over on the other side, it's like little kids don't understand what that is. That means nothing to them. All their parents is like, oh my gosh, yes, I had to do that. And that robot thing that was always around him. No, it was
the Michael Jackson music where he's on
I'm bad,
and then he does the moonwalk on the water. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, all of those things.
So everything in here is really geared toward the parents. And I thought that was really smart of Illumination, because unlike something like, for example, Captain Underpants is, I enjoyed it, but it was one of those movies that I would only bring kids to. I would never go to that on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is something that I feel like is, you know, people think Minions, oh, that was kind of funny, you know, so they may or may not bring kids.
Yeah.
And I think they've kind of gotten out of that zone where, you know, maybe not. They're trying to cater to that generation mm-hmm. really hard, and they do a good job at it.
So one thing that when we were introduced to this villain, I just love that he's kind of like stuck in the past. He very much kind of a little bit reminded me of two different things. He kind of reminded me of Syndrome, where the Syndrome's like this, you know, he has this dream and then he gets shunned, and so then he becomes a bad guy.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of the thing, like he had a dream of being a star and he shunned, and so like he becomes what he was on TV, and he becomes a bad guy because of how he's treated. But the same time, he is so stuck in the past, like he's watching his old movies,
right? He's like, remember this episode?
He's collected all of the different action figures, basically has cornered the market on that. I mean, he is all him all the time, which is hilarious.
Here's what I thought was really fascinating though, like he's definitely a smart guy.
Yes.
He has actually created this bubble gum that expands.
You need to market this.
Yeah.
Yes.
But there's so many things, like every power that his character had in the TV show, he went ahead and made that real.
Yeah.
Like, which was, you must be a very smart
physicist. Props to you.
Yeah. So I mean, you lost your calling somewhere.
Child stars have feelings too. Be careful. You gotta be nice to them. Otherwise, they'll end up like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. We'll never hear of them again.
Aww.
Just kidding. They're doing very fine for themselves. I'm just slightly mad that they won't come on Fuller House and just do like a short cameo. Come on.
Yeah, that kind of bothered me too. Well, it didn't bother me, but it was like,
Yes, yes, exactly. It's more of the sad puppy dog face than anything. And the other person that he slightly reminds me of is Powerline. And it got my wheels turning. A Goofy Movie spinoff where Powerline is actually a supervillain. I love it. And I want more of this. I want fan art. Get Please, it? He yes. has powers and the electricity and the thunderbolt.
Yes.
And he's just so good looking. And
the
he can dance and he
in
can
the background
sing. Yes.
Is his minion.
That's what I was thinking. But then off we go with the movie. And so at the very beginning, they are, you know, Gru and Lucy, they're good guys and they are saving the day.
No, they're going up through the water and all of a sudden they run into Finding Nemo.
Oh, great moment.
Oh my gosh. And it's like only this studio would try to get away with this.
They are slightly off color.
Yeah.
And they know where to poke fun. And just their humor is just not your standard clean. Like,
not at all.
Okay, you have super clean humor that doesn't reference anything and it's just like pure and innocent.
Right.
Then you have, you know, it's funny, it's hilarious, but we got fart jokes in there.
Like Simpsons, and then you, I would say.
Yeah, and then, well, or DreamWorks. And then you have this, which is like all of those. Well, it's not pure, but you have the fart jokes. You have the off-color moments. Like, for example, with one of the minions is wearing a coconut bra. It falls off. The other one protects him from the nudity, and he slaps them away from touching him. And, like, you know, they go there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, especially on some of those, they like, slightly risque by American standards, like, oh,
right,
you went there, like you're talking about boobs and they're laughing.
Right.
And I love it.
They're the French. They are in these little jet propelled
cool boat
things that turn into whatever
bikes.
They need to be.
Yeah.
And they're going through and they like run into the school of fish and they run into, and it's like, it's Marlin and Nemo, and like they actually cut off Nemo's fin.
Yes.
And it's like, oh my gosh.
One point illumination.
Illumination point, yes.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So this is where we're introduced to our character, which we've talked quite a bit about, Balthazar Bratt. And there's the confrontation. And ultimately, Gru does win. He gets the diamond in a very embarrassing, hilarious way with the bubble, hoisting him up and the happy birthday party and everyone videotaping him. It's so embarrassing. But the guy gets away. And so then we go back to headquarters. We get the new boss. Like, the other guy's retiring. And I'm just, like, they made this very, very easy.
Yeah.
Like, we never see this lady again, really.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, how do we get them fired? Okay, someone new comes in.
Right.
And immediately you see her from behind and she has the hair and you're like, ooh, is it Mirage or somebody? And then I just see the nose and I'm like, bad guy. So Richard Rich, one of his big giveaways for his films and his personal style is that the bad guys typically have these big old noses. And this lady turns around, the new boss of basically the good guy federation. And man, she has quite a nose. And that's one thing I love about Illumination and this film franchise in general is that everything is very caricatured.
Mm-hmm.
Like they push it to the limit. So she has, like, yes, we all have big noses. Some people have big noses, right? But it's not crazy like that. And
no, this is like twice the size of her head.
Yes, it's definitely a bird beak and it's hilarious. And I'm like, whoa, bad guy. So I thought maybe like she would be the bad guy, but very quickly she's a bad guy in the fact that she is the new sheriff in town.
She's just the catalyst.
She's cleaning house and she gets rid of them because she clearly has a different agenda and it's no nonsense. And she did not appreciate that Gru did not capture Bratt. And so then Lucy, of course, has to be Miss Sassafras and says, well, if he's going, then I'm going too. Or you can fire me too. And she says, okay, see ya, bye girl, bye. And off we go. And that's the catalyst basically to set up this premise, because there's also this other plot line that, hey, you have a long lost brother who is a twin. Oh, and by the way, your dad was one of the greatest villains of all time. I feel like if he was one of the best villains, meaning Gru would have also had heard of him and looked at him and said, you look like me with half bald hair and half long hair and same body, same nose. I think you would have noticed because he's a smart guy. He's not a dude. But nope, never mind. We will just ignore that. This is a perfect YouTube video, a animation conspiracy video. Gru's dad.
Gru's dad, as opposed to Andy's dad.
Yes. Ah, yes, that was the hot topic this week.
First, I'm thinking, why did they have to bring the brother in? Because he doesn't, like, he's just... I don't know how to explain him other than he's like a bump on the log.
He's kind of aloof. He's really goofy, very immature.
Right. And so I was like, what point did he have in the story? And then I realized, they're trying to see if he is actually going to go back to villainy.
Yes.
They're trying to tempt him back into villainy. He is reformed.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
No, yeah. And that's what I liked. They kind of had this theme that, you know, you can go on a good path and you can change your life. And when things are good, it's easy to stay on that path. But sometimes when you have a bump in the road and like you just, as life, you have ups and downs. And this was one of those downs. He lost his job. It's easier to kind of fall back to those old habits. Mm-hmm. And so they really kind of set the stage here where he has this brother. He, you know, he's so excited he has a brother. He wants to impress the brother, kind of like your friends that are like, we used to do it back in the day, man. Like, what?
Come on, man.
You change.
You
come
know
on.
You want to.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it was, is that, like, this is dad. Like, you don't want to disappoint the family. And I just kind of liked that analogy, or at least that's the analogy I made, is kind of, you know, you can fall to bad times, which make you more susceptible to, you know, reverting back or choosing these things. And he doesn't give into the pressure initially. But then he does.
In a minor way, because, I mean, his intentions were always clear. He just wanted to stop Baltazar.
Yes.
And so
that's not bad.
No. So his whole goal was to stop him. And you know, it was cute when we're skipping toward the very end here, you know. But, you know, it's cute when he's thinking and he's like, yes, that is exactly what we'll do. We'll be rich and the richest villains of all time. And he's thinking of is getting back and impressing his new wife. He's getting back and impressing
the
new boss and
the whole
getting
crew.
His job back. Yeah. And, you know, so obviously he really liked his reformed life.
Yeah.
And even the minions were like, excuse me, blah, 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 blah.
Well, and it was funny. Definitely jumping to the end. But the brother, Drew, he's like, we're going to be the richest. You know, we sell this diamond. And I'm like,
who are you going to sell that to? There's so many villains. There's a black market for sure.
Oh, yes.
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
But even then, it's like there's only so few people that will actually be into buying this.
But they have money. They have the funds.
Yes.
You'd rather have a few people with millions of dollars than millions of people with no dollars.
This is true. Yes. This is true. But at least with Baltazar, you know, like he didn't want to sell it. Like, because like when you have it, like why would these people really want this diamond as like for its intrinsic value? Like I don't feel like there's much to do with it unless you have a purpose. Now, Baltazar, he actually had a very, you know, dastardly plan. He's going to use this diamond as a crystal for his nice little laser to...
Oh, yeah.
To
again
kill off
He's
everyone.
A smart dude.
He is a smart dude, yes.
All inspired by the 80s and a really cheesy TV show.
Yeah. You know, I feel sad, though, that they really didn't give Drew the benefit of having more substance. I feel like he should have had some... Because at the very beginning, when he comes in, he's, like, all schmoozing everybody. And he's dancing with the wife and knows all the kids' names. He's got the head of hair that he... It quaffs perfectly back. And
it's the giant mansion.
Yeah.
All the toys. I'm not really into material things.
He's got every red car out there. That was awesome. Look at the helicopter. That's awesome. But I feel like the only real negative was his character development. I don't feel like he was meant or even shown to be an equal. At the very beginning, he was. But...
Yeah, he was, in the fact that he had equal doesn't mean exactly the same, no. Right? So he had different elements that made him, in Gru's mind, you know, like, oh, wow, like, look at all these things you've done and whatnot. Or,
you've got a business.
You're successful. And then it turns out not so much. And he just really plays second fiddle to Gru. It seems like then when they start going on their adventures and they do their first little heist, where they, you know, he ends up stealing lollipops and he's just kind of more of a buffoon.
Yeah.
And just like always messing things up. And it's very clear why the dad was this big supervillain, and the genes, even though they were identical twins, more or less kind of, they went to Gru.
Right. And his genes, at least.
Yes. The I'm a smart supervillain genes.
Right. Interesting is both of them grew up feeling like they were the second fiddle to what anything mm-hmm, else, like mm-hmm. a disappointment to their parents.
Yes.
So he grew up thinking, you said that my father died of disappointment when I was born.
Sad. Like, little does he know
the story.
The dad would have been so proud of him.
I know. And I'm pretty sure that the mom would have been perfectly proud of Dru, played by Julie Andrews.
Oh, yes.
Which I felt was
a unique role for her.
Yeah. I was going to say unneeded, but it was like, I mean, go for it, Julie.
Hey, she says yes. You find a spot for her.
You find a spot for Julie Andrews.
I love Julie Andrews.
Me too.
So, you know, this is part of the film. They infiltrate the headquarters, but Dru messes everything up. He's really a hindrance to Gru. Yada, yada, yada. Jump to the big heist, not really heist, but I'm going to destroy Hollywood because they destroyed me.
I'm sure and, that he's not the first child actor to think that.
And I really start losing my attention at this point.
Yeah.
It's like kind of funny. Like, oh, wow, you reenacted this big scene from one of your episodes of your show. Mm-hmm. You know, you're that crazy obsessed. Wow, this is actually working. Wow. Right. Oh, and we have not talked about the minions. So the minions have this subplot where they basically they leave. They say, we're done with you. We need a bad guy because that's our job. You know,
right.
So we learned in the Minions movie is that they need a bad guy to serve. And the baddest, the biggest, right?
And he's
not like that anymore. And so they leave and eventually make their way onto a studio lot where they end up singing.
They have to sing.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's one of those America's Got Talent sort of shows where you have the panel of judges and they mm-hmm. have, you know, they have their sing off and, you know, they did that illegally. So they get put in jail. They turn out being the biggest, baddest guys in jail. Everyone's afraid of them.
That was my favorite when they come out doing the Sharks and the Jets dance.
Yes.
I was like, yes. That makes me really happy.
It was very good. They're hilarious. They're just all around great. And I think they were expertly used.
Yeah, I think they were really well done up until the point where Mel decides that he, you know, Dru is such a nice guy. Like, he's a baddie, but he's like, he was the dad to even all the minions. He's like sharing his everything with Mel. And Mel's like, oh, I shouldn't have been so hard on him. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, right about the time when they were breaking out of prison, where it kind of got slow for me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm just not wanting to talk about all the negatives, but I mean, there's definite problems were the fact that I felt like there were too many side plots. So you had the girls, first off.
Yeah, with like the random unicorn thing.
And so the girls, and then Lucy wanted to be like a mom. And
the engagement.
The engagement. So there's just...
Well, and then we also kept hitting the same notes with Brat. Like, I'm an 80s kid. Right. I'm a star. Look at me. Nostalgia. Hilarious. This is funny. 80s. Wow. Play a random 80s song right here.
Right.
Funny. Look at my hideout. It's 80s. Wow. Hooray. Tubular, man. Rad. Like, all those things.
I mean, it was cool, but...
But I felt like, oh, okay. Come on. Again, you know, and so we agreed. There was kind of too much going on. And then at the same time with Brat, like, too much of the same.
Yeah. It kind of happened the exact same way in the Minions movie, where I felt like just that last fight scene, man, just takes too long. And it was right about the time when they were the heist, they pull it off, but at the same time, the city is about to be destroyed. And like, mm-hmm. this, the whole thing, it just kind of, that's where it dragged for me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, I'm getting tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all in all, I mean, I still feel like all the jokes hit pretty well. Mm-hmm. And I felt like there was, it was a fun trip. And by the end, I was like, it was only an hour and a half.
I was happy.
I know.
You didn't take so much of my time. Like, I actually saw another movie today, Transformers 5. Don't even get me started. It was so bad. It was just horrible.
It has animation.
Yeah. And also a King Arthur subplot. And, oh, we have to find the heir of Merlin. And, oh, yeah, we're going to find the goddess of all the Transformers. And, oh, you know, she needs to find the scepter, which happened to be Merlin's scepter, which was given to him by an ancient. I mean, what are we? What's happening
there's
here?
There's just too many. Talk about your side plots. Check this anyway. Action out.
Anyway, so all in all, I thought the movie was good. Mm-hmm. As I was watching it at the beginning, the very, you know, as we're reintroduced to these characters and they're really fun and happy and I'm loving that first scene.
Yeah.
That was really good to me. And that's what makes this franchise so good. And then, like I said, they kind of kept hitting those notes over and over again. Like the beginning heist was like the last heist, just the last one was bigger. And it lost its shininess.
I didn't
for
feel
me,
the...
where after kind of that first act, I was like, okay. By third act, I was like, all right, let's cut to the chase here. So like leaving the film, I was like, it was good, they but didn't... definitely not my favorite.
There weren't very many personal stakes
mm-hmm.
in the combination between Baltazar and Gru.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was hard. Now, granted, most of the villains in these movies are kind of weak. Because they're kind of showing off that Gru was the baddest baddie of them all. But I don't know. It was just, it was hard to really root for anybody at the end. Yeah. It was just like, you knew it was coming. You were just kind of like, all right, are we done yet?
Yeah, and he makes it back into the anti-villain league. Which I'm right. like, okay.
That was easy.
I guess I didn't see that coming, but yeah, it was... Like at the very beginning, there were too many easy ways to set up the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, there were too many easy ways to close up the plot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. The lady who hates you and seems to be like all super hardcore just accepts you back.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you did a great job. You finally just defeated him in the end and you got the diamond back and whatever. But it just wrapped up very, very quickly, actually. And then mm-hmm. here we are, credits, and boom, we're done.
Yeah. And no even post-credit scene. So.
Well, and they kind of set it up maybe for another film with the brother, but I'm done with the brother.
I'm really done with the brother.
I really don't need to see him again.
Well, and the minions needed somebody to go with. I get that.
Well, that's the thing. Are the minions gone now? Or are they just on leave visiting him? Because Gru without the minions is pretty sad.
It is kind of sad. Yeah. I mean, he's got
because some of the minions helped him
go
on his little. Yeah,
that was a good line, though. Sometimes that's just how life is. We think you have a unicorn when really you just have a goat.
Yeah, that was really representative of how he saw his brother. He was super excited,
uh-huh.
which I mean, I don't think he was disappointed the fact that he had a brother. It was just all the things the brother seemed to be on the surface turned out to just be like a dud.
Yeah. They should have rectified that. They should have given him some redeeming qualities. But all in all, his brother's really not going to stand a chance against Gru. And so, yeah, the whole, I'll give him 5 minutes, you know, before I go and catch him. Like, yeah, it'll probably take you about that long.
Yeah.
And then he'll be back. But you can see both of them just like chomping at the bit, wanting mm-hmm. to go out, which was fun to see. All right. So for me, I give this movie 3.5 stars. I felt like there were quite a bit of story problems. And like I said, just didn't hold me to the end. But at the same time, I felt like through the whole, you know, 2/3 of this movie was just fun, funny, and not something I wouldn't mind watching again.
I'm going to give this movie 3 stars because me, on the flip side, I'm not really interested in watching it again. I feel that this really kind of put an end to the franchise where I don't see them doing a fourth. I see them doing other Minions
mm-hmm.
potentially, but I don't think that this is going to do as well as that first few films and the Minions films. I just don't see this doing over $1 billion. Definitely
no.
500 million perhaps, you know, which is equivalent to the first one, probably in between 500 to a billion. But it just, there were too many things that were similar that they just like kept harping on. And it was like really fun and exciting at the very beginning. And I'm like, oh man, I love Despicable Me. But by the end of it, I'm like, oh,
Yay, it's done.
Despicable Me. Yay, let's get over it. And so I'm going to give this 3 stars.
So if you want to give us your comments and let us know what you thought about this movie, you can go to rotoscopers.com/150. 150.
Woohoo!
And you'll be able to write in all of your comments there.
Here we go.
Light shining.
Congratulations.
Light shining.
Look at you.
Light shining.
You control the world now.
Light shining.
Look at you.
Light shining.
I said hey.
Light shining.
There's a higher power.
Light shining.
Like a yellow light.
Things Rotoscopers. So if you're looking on Instagram, check us out on Instagram. We've got lots of stuff going on in there. Hey, if you're looking for us on social media, we are most definitely on Instagram. We are most definitely on Twitter. You can check us out there, Rotoscopers, on both.
And Facebook.
And Facebook as well, yes. We've got a pretty healthy, a very healthy crowd on Facebook. Mm-hmm.
And you can find us on social media. I'm at Morgan Stradling everywhere. And Chelsea is at Chelsea Robson. And of course, check out Chelsea's Patreon page.
Ah, yes.
She's coming out with new music. She was telling me all about it. Very, very exciting stuff coming up. So just throw, you know, a few bucks her way. It really does help. She has some really cool things in the, that she would like to plan, and that, well, she has planned them and she's executing on them. So that's patreon.com/Chelsea Robson. And of course, if you want to support our show, rotoscopers.com/Patreon or rotoscopers.com/patron. Or patreon.com/rotoscopers. I mean, you really can't mess it up. I don't know where patreon.com/rotoscopers takes you, but don't go there. I did not. I can't validate whether that is a good site or a bad site.
Patreon.
Yes, yes, yes. So anyways, we are releasing a new fun little thing. It's called This Week in Animation. So anyone who is a patron $1 or above, which is basically any patron, we now get, they get a mini podcast episode, which is called This Week in Animation. And it's just us giving, it's either Chelsea or myself giving a 10 to 20 minute download of the news from that week and that person's take and stance on it. We give, you know, what happened, box office results, different, you know, things that are happening in the fandom, big events, big news stories. We're just going to give our thoughts on it real quick, rapid fire. And it's fun. I listened to the first episode that Chelsea did. She did the inaugural This Week in Animation, and I loved it. I thought it was great. So that's a fun little perk for anyone who joins at $1 or more. And then, of course, as we mentioned before, our $5 or more podcast is where we do a monthly rewatch of a film that we had previously recorded on the podcast. So you have 150 to choose from, and the patrons do pick. So Beauty and the Beast, here we come. So with that being said, that's all I have. Until next time, we are the Rotoscopers. This theme song of the franchise is that little ditty. This little ditty. Anyway,
it's a fun little ditty.
Let's keep using him. So there are more Pharrell Williams songs in this one. And Pharrell says,
thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Muchísimas gracias para la música. Y el dinero.
we'll focus on el dinero, okay?
He's not Spanish. I just decided to speak Spanish because I do. You know, because as we've joked, Richard Williams typically in his style is that the big takeaway or giveaway is that the bad guys have
not Richard
huge
Williams, Richard Rich.
Oh yes, Richard. Richard Williams would be very upset with us right now.
Yeah.
This is our Mewtwo episode. Chelsea doesn't get the reference.
I don't get the
reference. Mewtwo is the 150th Pokemon.
Ah.
Mew is 151, so next time will be our Mew episode.
Okay.
I mean, Chelsea's like,
I'm sorry, I do not fall into this, but at the same time,
Mason, you would get me.
Well, on that note, I feel like this whole year has been full of these really big things.
Yes.
So first off, we had our 5-year anniversary,
woohoo,
which was like, woo. And then after that, we hit 1 million downloads of the podcast.
Amazing.
Which was incredible. And now we're at 150 episodes, So
imaginary party.
Yay.
If you get that joke, then you are one of our OG listeners. If you don't get that joke, you really should go back and listen to rotoscopers.com/1. It is a great episode. Speaking of, that is one of our patron picks. Now, we are totally going off tangent here. Off tangent. Wow. There's tangents and then there's off tangent. Okay. No, we, one of our patron perks is for the $5 episode is that we get to re-review a film, and we polled the patrons and they said, we want you to review for this month, Beauty and the Beast. So that will be coming out probably the first week of July as part. So we're going to try to do those beginning of the month. You know, when you do, when your pledges go in, the new podcast drops. So yeah, we will be reliving that first episode. I'm going to go back and listen to it. Chelsea's going to go back, maybe listen to it. We've actually listened to that one probably more than any episode, just because when
it's
you're
first,
when you first have a podcast, at least this was me, I would listen to the episodes quite a bit, or just like go back and when you edit them, definitely very familiar with them.
Yeah, because when I go through and edit, especially in the early days, nowadays I don't do this quite as much because we've gotten so much better. it was a hot mess back in the day. But, you know, so yeah, I would start out and I would individually go through and re-listen to section by section just to make sure that they're all clean. And then at the end, when I was actually rendering it to an actual file, it would go back and play the whole thing again. And then as it was playing, okay, oh, dang it, I missed something. Now I have to go in, fix that, and start at the beginning, play the whole thing again. Good old-fashioned Pro Tools. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So I have listened to almost all of the episodes at least 3 times.
Yes.
It's a lot.
Chelsea's a super fan of her own work.
I am.
So anyways, going back, 150 episodes.
Yeah.
That's amazing. We're going to be reliving our first one. Well, we're not going to try and like just rehash everything that we talked about in the first. There will be classic moments.
There will be.
But we're going to rewatch the film as well and then kind of give another review, another take on it, because it has been 5 years.
There's been a whole other live action remake.
Yes, exactly. There's a lot more. I mean, we're definitely very seasoned podcasters at
this point.
You're going
to hear my rant is the thing.
Oh, so get ready. If you have not joined rotoscopers.com/Patreon. So I guess our nerdy couch discussion today was reliving the past 5 years slash 150 episodes.
Slash million downloads, yeah.
Yes, slash join the Patreon. No, but
imaginary
really.
Imaginary party.
That was the nerdy couch discussion day, was our imaginary party. All right, so we are actually back this time for the non-tangent part of the show, which is the main discussion. We are going to be talking about Minions. No.
No, we're back to the original tangent.
Sorry.
We've gone back onto the tangent before we go back onto the... So the tangent is talking about the prequels.
Well, yes. Yeah, well, all right, so we are back for our main discussion. We are off tangent, and now we're just on a tangent.
Yes. That's the worst Minions thing I've ever done.
You probably remember. I was like a robot.
Banana. Say bananas. Bananas. They're gone.
That was really weird. It was like
they just came, parked, didn't get
out. They're like a drug dealer because they're like, crap, there's people around and I don't want to be seen. So just
keep driving
away. Not today.